In the closing part of the meeting this evening, we want just to turn to one verse, which is in Numbers 10 and the verse number 29. Numbers 10 and the verse number 29. We've heard a lot from the Word this evening as the children here in the senior section of the Sunday school brought our attention to Moses and especially to that great event of the Exodus when the children of Israel were brought out of the land of Egypt and were delivered by the power of God and through the grace of the Lord toward them and upon the ground of the shed blood of the Passover lamb. And we come here in Numbers chapter 10 to a point where Israel, having come out of Egypt, are now ready to go on their journeys toward the promised land. And we take up this particular verse that lies in that context. And the verse reads as follows, Numbers 10, verse 29. And Moses said unto Hobab, the son of Raguel, the Midianite, Moses' father-in-law, we are journeying unto the place of which the Lord said, I will give it you. Come thou with us, and we will do thee good, for the Lord hath spoken good concerning Israel. Let us all bow in prayer, please, just for a moment. Let us all bow together. Let us unite our hearts at the throne of grace, and let us pray and ask the Lord's help. Heavenly Father, remember us now. We thank thee for both parts of the program this evening. Thank thee for the presentation of divine truth by these children. And we ask, O Lord, that as we now close out this meeting by turning to the Scriptures and considering this verse and the message it contains, that thou wilt help us and thou wilt bless our hearts. We need thee. We need thee to still our souls. We need thee, Lord, to give to everyone that attentive mind and that receptive heart. We pray that from the youngest child right up through all the ranks that are represented here in this congregation, there will be a riveting of our minds upon thy word. We pray, Lord, that divine truth will come with freshness and power. We pray that people here who are under the sound of thy word, who need a Savior, will be dealt with. We pray, Lord, for thy speaking voice. We pray for that lasting fruit to come forth, even in the saving of souls and in the blessing of thy word to every heart. Hear us now and help us, we pray. We ask in Jesus' name and for his sake and for his glory. Amen. Numbers 10, verse 29. This verse is actually set within the context of a family situation. The words are spoken by Moses, and he voiced them as one who was in the role of a son-in-law. They are addressed to his father-in-law, this man called Hobab, who is also known in Scripture as Jethro. But when we think of a son-in-law and a father-in-law, well, that presupposes a wife and a daughter. It also presupposes children and grandchildren. And this, of course, is the actual case here in this setting. Moses' wife was Zipporah, the daughter of this man Hobab. She and Moses had two sons, Gershom and Eliezer. And there's no doubt that all of them were present here somewhere in this company at this particular time. See, the entire nation of Israel are about to move off to commence their pilgrimage toward the land of promise. And therefore we know that Moses' wife and Moses' children are present when at this very point Moses, before his father-in-law, brings this proposition that our text contains when he says to him in these great words, come thou with us, and we will do thee good. If there ever was an Old Testament statement that could be regarded as a clear gospel appeal to the sinner's heart and to the sinner's conscience, then this is that statement. As I've said, Moses is speaking here on behalf of others. He says, we are journeying Come thou with us, and we will do thee good. While those words were true concerning the whole nation of Israel, they could be thought of with respect to that family that I've already mentioned, Hobab's family. His son-in-law speaks to him here. His daughter is involved. His grandsons are also somewhere in that particular group who are met on this occasion just before they set out on their journey toward the land of promise. And therefore these words may certainly be considered with regard to the family context and the family situation. And it is a context in which the family member, this particular family member, Hobab, the father-in-law, the grandfather, is exhorted to go with the others to the land of promise. We meet here this evening in that very same context, the family context. The services of this day are of that kind. They are family services. It is an annual event. We gather together. We see our children. And you see your children and grandchildren take part in these meetings. And therefore there is, in a very real sense, that family atmosphere. And that means that these words of this verse are very relevant. They are very appropriate on this occasion. In this gathering this evening, there are family members who would do well to consider the appeal that these words clearly contain. The clear gospel appeal that comes from those who are saved, those who know the Lord, those who are sitting around you tonight as part of your family, and from them there comes an appeal to your heart and to your soul, to you who are unsaved, to you who are still in your sin, that you would come with them, that you would go with them, as this text before us indicates. That is its message, that is its appeal. There are various people in this gathering tonight who would do well to realize they stand in need, yea, desperate need, of direction for the soul, of guidance with regard to the way of salvation, with regard to those things that pertain to eternity and to the things of the Lord. You are in need of that direction and that counsel, and here you have it before you in this verse, very appropriate verse, come thou with us, and we will do thee good. It's interesting that these words of this text are actually and essentially a testimony. It's very striking to find in the Word of God that many appeals that are found throughout the Scriptures to the unconverted with regard to their need of salvation are frequently couched in words of testimony. When Andrew met Jesus Christ, he was eager to find his brother Peter, and he did so, and he went to Peter and he said, "We have found the Messiah." When Philip sought out Nathanael to lead him to Jesus Christ, he had a very similar testimony, "We have found him." Or we think of the words of the woman of Samaria who went to her friends in that city of Sychar, and she delivered her message to them in this way, "Come see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ?" Or the man of Gadara, whom the Lord set free from his bondage and his sin and all the power of darkness in which he was found. And when that happened in his life and in his soul, he went to his own city, and we're told that he began to publish how great things Jesus had done for him. And therefore, in the Scriptures, there's a pattern as we think about the appeal that comes forth here from the lips of Moses to his father-in-law. There is a pattern in terms of personal testimony to the unconverted, a testimony that comes to the soul, to the heart, to the mind, to recognize the need of a Savior and take up that great challenge that there is in the gospel that must be obeyed. And here you have it in these words, "We are journeying on to the place of which the Lord said, I will give it you. Come thou with us, and we will do thee good. For the Lord has spoken good concerning Israel." In this testimony, There is identity. Moses says, we are journeying. And in making that remark, he's actually identifying himself and the people of God, the nation of Israel, as being those who are on a journey. He is therefore describing them or identifying them in a certain way. That is, as those who are pilgrims. The Bible calls the Lord's people pilgrims because they are on a journey of faith and a journey that leads to a certain destination, as we will see this evening. And therefore, the saved of the Lord are indeed a people on a journey. They are going somewhere. That means that they are a people with a past. Because as you set out on a journey, it means that you have left another place behind. And you therefore think about Israel here and consider what they have left behind. And the whole thing begins to come together very vividly, because this nation of people of whom Moses speaks and says, we are journeying onto a place which the Lord has spoken of. As he makes that remark, he is actually saying, we have left something behind us. And of course, they have left Egypt behind. They have left the house of bondage behind. They have left that which represents the state of sin and the state of a fallen nature. They have left it all behind them, where they were slaves to Pharaoh. They were in bondage and they were in fear. And they realized that they needed liberty. And the Lord came and gave them that liberty and brought them out. And now Moses can say, we're on a journey. We have started out. We have left the past behind us. See, that's really what has happened in the life of everyone who is saved. Yes, the Lord's people are a people who are on a journey. They're going toward heaven. But that, as I say, presupposes that they have a past, and that past is now behind them, and they have left it there, and they are going on with God. And it's the past that pertains to their sinful background and their sinful life and all that had to do with their fallen state. And therefore they can say, we are journeying because the Lord has brought us out. The Lord has set us free. The Lord has released us from our guilt and our sin and our bondage. Well, you see, that which has happened to the people of God in terms of being brought out of the house of bondage or sin or darkness or their fallen state is a reminder to you who are yet unsaved of where you actually are, of your condition and your state before a holy God. If you are not saved, you've got to realize tonight that you are in the condition of being fallen and sinful, and the Bible says you are in spiritual bondage. The very identity of these people we are journeying is a reminder not only of their past, but a reminder of the fact that those who are not saved are still under the power and the thraldom of sin. And oh, that you would feel and sense that this evening. That you'd realize just where you are before a holy God, the condition of your life and the state of your soul. It's essential that you see this. You can never come to know God or be right with God until, first of all, you discover where you are. You cannot join with those who are saved. You cannot embrace what they say to you and therefore respond and say, yes, I want to go with you, until first of all you realize where you are right now and that you have need to be released from the power of sin and the bondage and the grip of the world upon your life. You need to see that out of that you need to be brought. You see, these people who say we are journeying are a people with a past, but they are therefore a people, as I've already intimated, who have been set free. They have been liberated. And of course, Moses and Israel, as a people, had experienced that great freedom that came about. We've heard of it this evening in the program brought by the children. They've been run out of the house of bondage. They have been set free. And to sum it up this way, these are the words of a redeemed people. God came to Israel in Egypt and he redeemed them. He brought them out. He delivered them, and he did so in a certain way. He set them free through the great event of the Passover. A lamb was slain. Its blood was shed. And in that way, God was revealing the gospel to those Israelites. Yes, their bondage and their state there in Egypt was a reminder to them of their sinful condition. But when the little lamb was killed and its blood was shed and it was sprinkled, the blood was sprinkled on the doorposts and the lintels of their homes, they were being taught the great gospel truth that the only way to be set free from sin is through the death of our Lord Jesus Christ. This is where the identity of the Lord's people really begins. They are a people with a past, fallen, sinful, lost in the bondage of sin, but they are a people, thank God, who have been liberated and brought out of that bondage and are now released from its power and are on their way to glory. And my dear friend, they want you to go with them. That's the message that comes out of this testimony that is borne out in these marvelous words. It is the message that you and your sinful state and fallen condition need to be set free from the power of sin and from all that binds you, the world, your fallen nature, your sinful habits, your disobedience to God. You must recognize tonight that this is your state, this is your condition, and there's only one way out of it. And that is through Christ and through His work, and through the salvation that He provides as a result of the suffering that He endured on the cross. And if you want to be identified with those who are truly the people of God, this is where you begin. This is where you must arrive at this very point of seeing, yes, that is where I am. I'm lost. I'm under the power of sin, and there is no way out of it. I've tried every other way. I've sought to set myself free, but the guilt remains and the darkness continues. And I know I'm lost before God, and I must find the right way. And my friend, the right way is God's way. It's through Christ and through His work and through the shedding of His own precious blood. In this testimony, there is also certainty. Because Moses says, we are journeying unto the place of which the Lord said, I will give it you. These people of Israel were not going out on some journey concerning which there was no certainty or no direction. The Lord had told His people, there is a place and I'm going to give it to you. And therefore they knew exactly where they were going, and they knew the point to which they were headed. They knew where they were actually hoping to arrive at some particular time. And you see, that certainty came to them because God had spoken. And Moses makes that very clear. He refers to the place of which the Lord said, I will give it you. God has said to men and women, I will give you heaven. He has sworn by Himself, the Bible tells us, that He will finally bring His people home to heaven. And therefore, in this testimony that's born to you in this meeting tonight, there is not only identity, a people with a past but set free, liberated by the gospel, which you need to experience, but it is also a testimony in which there is this blessed certainty. The Lord's people are going home to glory. They are going there to inhabit heaven as God has promised. Let me tell you something. You're also on a journey tonight. It's a journey, as I've already indicated, it's comprised of sin and disobedience and rebellion. And there's a certainty concerning that journey that you're on. And that certainty is just as surely as the child of God will one day arrive in heaven, so you, still in your sin and unconverted, will one day arrive in hell. I want you to be absolutely clear in this tonight. There's a certainty about us all as we meet here. The certainty of either being on the road to heaven or on the road to destruction. And the Bible makes this clear over and over again in many, many verses. Well, you understand, dear friend, that you're not in a state of neutrality. You're not drifting through life in the sense that there's no destination for you, no end to the kind of life that you're living. That's not the case at all. You may feel that you're simply living your life and it's nobody else's business, and what you do is your concern, and where you're going has got nothing to do with either me or other people. But I want to tell you something, that is absolutely wrong. You're an individual. God knows you and God sees you. And your life is your own and you're living out that life. And one day that life's surely going to end. And you're headed toward a certain place at this very moment in time. You're a traveler toward eternity, just like the Christian is. There's certainty over every person's life here. In that sense, that there's an end to it all. And Moses can say, we're going to the place of which God has promised and spoken. And we're sure of it. But dear sinner, God has also spoken of that other place. Just as clearly, just as surely as he has spoken of heaven, this is the unpalatable and the uncomfortable thing and truth that so many people do not want to hear. That is that there is a hell. And there is an end to life. You will not be here forever. You are living out your little day, whatever length it may eventually turn out to be. You're living it out. It will come to a close. It will come to an end. And therefore you need this evening to realize that your soul is in great danger. And your life needs to be brought into line with God's truth, with God's word, that you might arrive at that great destination that is glory in heaven. You might say tonight, I want to be there. I want to go there when I die. But ah, my friend, you cannot go there as you are now living. It's utterly impossible. We sang the opening hymn tonight, the little children's hymn, not that defileth will enter in. You cannot go to heaven and take your sin. You cannot go to heaven if you're living outside the will of God, outside the parameters of this book. If you're living for fleshly pleasure and fleshly indulgence and worldly things, you can't possibly be in heaven. Indeed, my dear friend, you can't be in heaven because you wouldn't even be happy there. May I make that clear? Your sin bars you from glory. Your sinful nature means you would be miserable in heaven. And therefore, you need to see this evening that there is great need for a change, for a turnaround. And as Moses said to his father-in-law, come thou with us. So we say to you this evening that you must come with those who are the saved and begin to enter into the great enjoyment of what they have. Because in these words there is also security. It says here, the Lord has spoken good concerning Israel. The Lord has spoken good concerning his people, concerning those who are saved. He has given promises concerning the people who are identified here, and the people have got this certain and sure destination before them. He has spoken good concerning them. And you know, that's a wonderful little statement. The Lord has spoken good concerning Israel. What has the Lord said about those who are his? What has he given to them by way of this security, which is actually encapsulated in these words? He has spoken good concerning Israel. What has the Lord said about his people? Well, he has said about his people that he pardons all their sins, that he gives them peace before his law, that he accepts them, that he gives them a spirit to dwell in their hearts and to enable them to live the Christian life. In other words, God has faithfully pronounced that everything that his people need to bring them home to heaven is given to them. You see, there's a journey. It's fraught with difficulties. The Lord's people, those who are saved, those who want you to come with them, will be the first to acknowledge that it's not an easy road we're traveling to heaven. There are many difficulties on the way, and temptations and trials and All these forms of opposition from the powers of darkness that the people of God experience. And yet the Lord has spoken good concerning Israel. He has given his people the great promises that he will provide for them in every spiritual way. What all that they need to keep them and preserve them and bring them finally home. The Lord has given promise concerning all this. And so I want you to see this tonight. Because here is Moses' great incentive, therefore, that he sets before his father-in-law. Come thou with us, and we will do thee good, for the Lord has spoken good concerning Israel. You notice the connection of thoughts. Moses says, we will do you good because God has spoken good concerning his people. Let me say to you tonight, dear sinner, outside of Christ, and therefore outside of Christ's people, you are in the wrong company. Now, I don't doubt the fact you have friends, you have people who are helpful in various ways. I don't doubt that. When it comes down to spiritual matters, you're in the wrong company. You're with those and among those who cannot do you any good. In the lasting sense, in the eternal sense. They cannot do anything for your soul. They cannot contribute anything to your life in terms of the blessings that are found among the Lord's people. Among the Lord's people, there's a people, well, they'll pray for you, and they'll help you, and they'll encourage you, and they will guide you. And they'll assist you. That's what God's people want to do for those who are yet in their sin. They want you to come with us and we'll do you good because the Lord has spoken good concerning us and therefore God has given us the grace to help you. But so long as you remain in the world among the unconverted and the unsaved, then you're among the people who cannot do you any good. They'll only drag you down. They'll lead you away from God. They'll bring your soul into jeopardy more and more. They cannot pray for you. They cannot benefit you. They cannot do anything for you with regard to spiritual matters. And that is the great issue, the state of your soul, your spiritual need. And therefore tonight see this, that it is the Lord and his people who alone are able to do men good and deliver them and help them. And this is Moses' great plea here as he addresses his father-in-law. Come thou with us and we will do thee good. But notice, my dear friend, that in this testimony there is entreaty. There is a great appeal. Because it says here, come thou with us. Which means that there has to be on your part a turning away from everything that is characterized by sin and by the world and by the fallen state in which you're found. In other words, there has to be repentance, a forsaking of sin, and a turning from all that is against the mind and the will of God, a necessary departure from all or the state in which you're now found. You must leave it all behind. And if you're going to be in heaven and be saved, then this is an essential step. And that step must surely be taken. Otherwise, you can never enjoy or possess what Moses sets before us here in this text. There has to be that turning from sin and that turning to Christ, that forsaking of all in which you're now found, and the abandonment of it all to go to Christ and to trust Him as your Savior and your Redeemer. This is what Moses says to you tonight. This is what the Word of God brings to your attention. Here are God's terms and God's way of salvation. Realize tonight your need and your danger and the state of your soul. and hear the word of God to your heart. Come thou with us, and we will do thee good. Will you take that step tonight? And will you come to Christ and seek him as your Savior? Let us bow together before the Lord as we come to the close of this meeting. We just bow together quietly and prayerfully before the Lord in his presence, and we think about the word that we have heard this evening the whole way through from the children, and now from this message. Now, my friend, what a need there is for you to consider very carefully your need of Christ, your sinful, fallen state before a holy God. And even at this moment, turn to the Lord. Seek him with all your heart. It may be there are those here who have been considering these things, thinking about them, realizing the need of Christ and the need to be saved. Maybe for some time you've been thinking this way. And therefore, I would urge you tonight, just in these closing moments, to do business with the Lord. Bow your heart and your soul before heaven. And in the recognition of your need of the Savior, cry to him and seek him. Seek him for yourself. It'd be my joy to talk with anyone and help any person who would like counsel and like me to open up the word and guide you to Christ. And you may see me afterwards. Make your need known. And this very night, seek the Lord. Seek him while he is to be found. And God, our Father, we pray that the Spirit of the Lord will take the word this evening and use it. Pray, Lord, that he will apply it to hearts with power, that he will save the lost, that he will bring sinners to Christ, that he will do that work of grace that he alone is able to do. Come, O Lord, we pray. Come upon us now in these moments as we bow in prayer. Lord, may there be a work done for eternity, and may there be fruit brought forth that will redound to thy glory. Bless our families. Bless all who are here before thee. Lord, speak with power, we pray, and do a work in hearts even this night. Part us now with thy blessing, and keep your hand upon us, we ask, in Jesus' name, and for his sake and his glory. Amen.